Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
afternoon. Show number 1102.
That's not bad.
Welcome as you get ready to sit down and get down for 2+ hours of good food for thought, courtesy of your loving mad scientist here at Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. I'm starting to get some of that phlegm on my gut. Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BSNNewsroom.com and the Assassin of the Black Athlete Sports Network. And get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.bansnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network going online with us as we celebrate our 8th year on air in this particular venue in March. Radio Reggie down in Richmond, Virginia. Ricky Hopkins Sr. in Detroit City, host of the African American Athlete Show. Ricky and Mike do a great job Tuesdays. Call and check them out and also go to their great website, theAfricanAmericanAthlete.com, and that's, of course, Tuesday evenings at 9 o'clock on Blog Talk. And, of course, Pat Freeman, the Mighty Oba, doing the do until he gets down to Miami and Super Bowl 54 with his great podcast, Pro Talk, focusing on sports and other good things. You can hear him weekends on our site as well as other locations. And we add into the fray the one and only bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray.
No one makes $1 billion. You take $1 billion. I think it would have been. Donald J. Trump, our beloved president, is making a mockery of our democracy.
Yep.
Alexandria Cortez, Ocasio Cortez,
right.
Ran on time as he did it. No one ever makes $1 billion.
Yep.
You take $1 billion. Exactly what happened in the United
States.
With slave wages, with corruption, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We had to clean this up with me now.
That's right. That's right. But if you're going to include that tangerine titwad, you should also include that malevolent turtle, that turtleneck son of a bitch.
Yes.
Mitch McConnell. Because not only is Moscow Mitch Putin's bitch, he is also somebody who was committing grand theft cash long before Trump's amateur ass even showed up on the scene. Let's not forget, it wasn't that long ago when a meme that came up courtesy of Mia Farrow stated that Moscow Mitch, when he was in his first term, his net worth was about $2 million or some shit like that, or $500,000. I forget the actual amount. However, as he is in Congress right now as a senior member, his net worth has blown up to over $26
million.
Yeah. Now, Gary, that is an increase of over 800%. Now, members of the Senate make less than $200,000 in salary. So, to quote our esteemed colleague, Radio Reggie, how in a ham sandwich can this motherfucker be worth over $26 million if he's making only
$200,000
a year at his job?
Okay, this is how it works. I become senator of New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
I go to Trenton, and I make all these laws. And so a guy, AT&T, comes to me and says, look, Senator Gray, I'll give you X number of dollars if you take
Right.
Okay. Okay, I'll do that. I'll take the law for you.
Mm-hmm.
You mean the cash? I'll do it. $9,000 is work.
Yeah.
And the system is broken. It is broken.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you keep doing that, you
mm-hmm.
pass bad laws. You pass
mm-hmm.
laws that don't make any sense.
Listen, I agree with you, Gary. That's definitely part of it. But I found the actual post that me and Farrell came up with. I'm going to read the numbers so everybody can feel me. Mitch McConnell's net worth, 2005,
$2,962,015.
2015, a decade, $26,927,535. That's an increase of $23,965,520. That's an 809.1% spike. And the question again asked, how does a senator earning $193,400 a year increase their net worth by merely $2.4 million a year, every year, for a decade. So let's just say, for argument's sake, all right, he's got a position high up in the Senate. Let's just say Senator Gray, as you implied, Senator Gray has just been treading water. You know, he really hasn't sponsored any important bills, but he didn't get in the way of anybody's Dick Dastardly agenda in trying to pass laws along. So on the quiet, in that same decade, and let's say Senator Gray didn't have shit, just his $193K salary, in a decade, with the favors that you just talked about, it's fair to say that Senator Gray would be definitely worth $1 million at least.
Yep.
And the fucking connections he would have and the patronage that he would get, all those little side juicy sidebars, I can see him increasing his salary, doubling, tripling, easy, just on the premise that you brought up.
And Michael, this is why people do not leave the Senate and the House, because they know they get the
mm-hmm.
That's why I want term limits. You stay in there 15 years. Get your ass out after 15 years.
Oh, and I agree. I remember 15, G. Two terms.
Fucking
terms.
Eight guys.
Mm-hmm.
You got eight men that have been there for 35 years. What are they doing?
Well, they're gaining power for one thing. And if you look at it all, as we have Tony McClain coming into the mix, I want to nip this in the bud and get it back into football. But Tony, first of all, can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you okay.
Okay. So, bottom line in all of this, the whole aspect of McConnell, Moscow Mitch, doing what he's doing and gaining what he's gaining. If Senator McClain from Connecticut was just getting his straight salary of $193,400, and he was able to keep his spot for a decade, we could easily add another zero to Senator McCain's net worth, or Senator McClain's worth. So how do you see all of this? I mean, this isn't just doing business. Obviously, someone has sold their soul for rock and roll.
Rock and roll, reggae, R&B, spoken word, on and on and everything. It's the thing is, the thing that I fear, and we've talked about this before on and off the air, the thing I fear about
mm-hmm.
this whole I don't even know what to call it now. It's such a productocy. You know, I don't remember now maybe because they didn't get to this stage with Nixon. But I don't
right.
remember all the theatrics, them coming in with the book, And Nancy Pelosi writing Mickey Mouse on the thing and signing. You know, the thing is, the thing I fear is they're going to become just as superficial and bullshit as the guy that they're going after. And
I agree.
What was great about, and again, maybe I'm talking like an old whatever, but the thing that was so simplistic and impactful about the whole Nixon thing was, here's what he did, here's what happened, here's the whole deal. Now let's hold on. Now look, you had dissenting guys on the Republican side as well in 74.
Right.
Howard. Who was the Sam Irvin's second hand in command? Howard, I think it was. Howard Dean, because Howard Dean is a Democrat, but it was Howard Baker.
Baker. Okay.
And he was, you know, if you've watched any of the the documentaries about it and followed it or whatever. He was a staunch Nixon guy. He was like, the thing I remember the most was the debate leading up to the vote. And there was a senator, I can't remember the actual name of it, but he basically said, but, you know, when all this was happening, what did my president do? Did my president say, you guys get out of here? This is the office of the President of the United States. This is, we're not supposed to do this. But no.
Mm-hmm.
But my president said, oh, we can get $100,000, John. Oh, we can get $1 million. You know, instead of, whether we're talking Rob Manfred or Richard Nixon, the cover up is worse than the crime.
Yeah.
Now,
and
can see. You can't help but think that there's more to the surface with the quote unquote cheating thing, but especially with this, there's more to it. But they're so into trying to do the theatrics and get it. Stick with the program. Here's how he obstructed justice. This is what is illegal. Because see, here's the thing. This is the one thing that I've tried to be consistent with this. When Donald J. Trump, private citizen, terrible businessman, is doing dealings with Russia and all these other countries, it doesn't impact nobody but him and his people around him.
When
he does this as the president of the motherfucking United States of motherfucking America.
No, okay.
It affects all of us.
Yeah,
therein
true.
Lies the
yeah.
difference. Even even if it's all about, well, he's a businessman, he has the right to do. Yes, but see, here's the thing. Once you put your hand on the Bible and say you're going to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the motherfucking United States of fucking America.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All that shit goes out the door.
That's right.
You know? I mean, to me, he's Dick Cheney. He's Dick Cheney. At the end of the day, he's Dick Cheney. He used his business influence to make money. And that's, you can't do that as a sitting fucking president. Then people want to get into semantics. Oh, he was a candidate. He's still doing it, you asshole. It's always funny to me. Look, I'm no lawyer. I don't play one on TV, radio, internet, or what have you. But common fucking sense will tell you this guy did something illegal as he was getting in office and while he's there. And
because,
it, And here's where the twain meets with him and Nixon. What did Nixon know, and when did he know it? And we don't have to go through them, and we don't have to have this. You know, the Saturday Night Live used to have a skit called Bad Theater.
Yes.
And this
you got
is
bad theater, exactly.
I swear to God, every time I look up, I'm like, is this a Saturday Night Live skit? Or is this actual? Because I actually was looking up today, and I saw they were on. I'm like, they're doing this on a Saturday? Well, like now the department says, okay, that's cool that you know they're taking time out of their weekend, but I can't help but think that it's like, now today I believe it was Trump's lawyers, I believe that were on display today.
Yep.
So. Mm-hmm. You know, God forgive me, but you sort of know what direction they're going to be going once they get in there, because needless to say, Mr. Trump's been to court a few times the last I checked.
I'm going to stick
my neck out with that fact. So
that would be good speculation.
Yeah, but see, are they going to see? They're going to try to run interference. Your boy the Toitles is going to try to run interference. what gets me is how they're going to try to make it so that the American public can't, you know, no C-SPAN, no.
Exactly.
So you want to do this in a damn vacuum, even though this involves the president of the motherfucking United States.
Exactly.
You know what's interesting about this is, like, Mr. Graham, 25 years ago, railed against Bill Clinton, and in the impeachment trial, the words that he used in the impeachment trial of Bill Clinton, here we are 20, 30 years later, and he said,
lie and deny. But see, unfortunately for his ass, there's videotape. And you could put in Lindsey Graham on YouTube and get edumacated on just, you know, the only thing this guy changes more is possibly his underwear, at least I hope. He goes with, you know, he's a company guy.
No, you're right.
And knowing what
we know, gratuitous blowjobs notwithstanding, I will never eat another fucking Keebler cookie ever again. Because every time I see those motherfuckers in the Hollow Tree, I think about this son of a bitch. And you talk about.
Yep.
Branding issues. I'm surprised Keebler hasn't hung up in his ass a long time ago. But I want to wrap this up because I want to get to football.
Plus, he got the nerve to get over 5 feet, but that's a whole other story.
Indeed. But, gentlemen, let me deviate slightly from this and get to an issue we thought was dead and buried, but now has been brought back up. It seems now, when it comes to adding side orders on the sports menu, what seems to be a popular side dish,
is beef.
And we've had beefs of a sort going on this for a while. As a matter of fact, there's one guy on YouTube who dedicated his site to beef. And I'm not talking, disagreements. And one disagreement that has resurfaced needs to be put back out in perspective, and that is the ongoing beef between Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens. Long gone, McNabb comes out and says,
well, you know, we would have won if it wasn't for Terrell Owens getting blah, 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 and doing blah, blah.
And I'm like, you cheesy son of a bitch. How are we going to deal with the media tearing down black athletes if they're doing black athlete on black athlete crime? So let's encapsulate this quickly. Ryan Westbrook, running back on the same Eagle teams that were successful, that finally got them to the Super Bowl before the cheating ass Patriots of Foxborough wiped them off the court. Westbrook says, guys, stop. You know, this shit is like 15 years down the road now. McNabb brings it back up. And of course, what we're talking about is the fact that Terrell Owens came to the Eagles. He balled out. He got hurt. Came back, rushed himself back, signed the waiver. It sounded like something out of Any Given Sunday. So he put his career on the line in Super Bowl 39. He was the best player on the field by far. Should have been an MVP candidate, even in losing. But, of course, because he was Tio, they weren't going to give him that props. And the so-called general manager at the time, Joe Bannon, could have solved all of this and said, Terrell, we appreciate that you busted your ass to come back. You did the work. You were magnificent out there on the field. Let us work the numbers and find you the money we need. We want you here. Sometimes it's as simple as that. People needing to be appreciated, needing a compliment, something. And they had to know what he was like while he was there. And, of course, Donovan, as Tony said, he's the company man. You know, I'm just here, being careful, blah, blah, blah. He's gained notoriety. He's played well, all the other shit. And next thing you know, he's in a position to do something because Westbrook is underpaid. He's utilized. Here's Philadelphia's triplets, just like Dallas had triplets. Oh, here's your triplets, Westbrook, Owens, McNabb. You got something to work with. Westbrook needs more money. Donovan goes to management and says, please, you got to find Brian Westbrook more money. Even after he said, I can't do that sort of stuff. So he screws T.O. Now, this was tipped off to me by my colleague Mike Burton, who was my boss at the Philadelphia Tribune. After the draft in 99, when Donovan's name was called and the Philly people booed his ass, everything like that, it revealed something that he wasn't comfortable with, and that was that Donovan McNabb is thin-skinned, that he took the criticism really, really badly, and it affected how he played or could not play during his career. Now, we've all seen guys who, because you're not supposed to have some pat way to handle all this shit, but there are guys who take this seriously, and they're upset by criticism, you know? So Tony, seeing what you saw and seeing what ESPN kept spouting out, did you get the sense that McNabb was thin-skinned as well, or did he hide it well?
I think we've learned over the years that he definitely is this guy, and he, you know, he hit it, unfortunately, he hit it well. But see, a lot of that has to do with the fact that he, you know, he got caught up being a company man, and that, you know, as much as we rail against the cheating ass Patriots of Foxborough, I will give Tom Brady this much credit. He and Troy Aikman, and a lot of other people, they deferred money so they could get the best guys there. The fact that Donovan was sort of, or just sort of picked sides, or was just sort of hesitant about it, that maybe speaks more about him than it does T.O. Because see, let's be 100. They really, I mean, even with those kids that won the Super Bowl with Big Dick Nick, they weren't T.O. They were very good. They came through, you know, as much as they tried to force, you know, the tight end down our throat. It's a good, you know, good receiver. But you can't win, you can't win a Super Bowl consistently with just your tight end as your main guy, but to get back to again to the topic at hand, think of what McNabb had a great career as an Eagle. You know, you can make the argument he was the greatest quarterback in Eagle history, but
he is.
You know, think of his struggles before, and think of his struggles during, and think of his struggles after T.O. Because see, you know, to coin the phrase of another great athlete out of Philly, ball don't lie. Ball don't
That's right.
lie. You know, he probably does not get to that Super Bowl without T.O. because they, you know, remember, they were the Kings. They were he was doing his best Danny White impersonation by losing
yes,
all his NFL championships.
That's true.
You know.
Yep.
But you know, and in some instances, some of them NFC championship games. I'm sorry, some of them NFC championship teams were on the same level, if not a little bit better than the team that actually got to the Super Bowl. But what
right.
got them to the Super Bowl was T.O. You know,
yeah.
And like
yeah.
I said,
no
they
question.
Had that trip. They had that triplet thing going, and the fact that you know he sort of leaned toward the running back. And again, no disrespect to Westbrook, but you know you gotta have it all. If you're gonna win a championship, you have to have that balance. I think that's the reason why you look at the two teams that are playing next Sunday, and they have a balance. Now the
they
Niners
do.
May run the ball a little bit better, but KC has already proven that with their now they're more of a backfield by committee. But their committee does a hell of a lot more than most teams that have a defined guy as what have you. Some tough, but see, that's the thing, especially with this NFL now, is because see, as much as they keep trying to push the pass, and then I say pass, you still gotta run the ball. You still gotta have that.
Yeah, that's
balance.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean. They never see the fact that they got there and lost was like what you said to yourself, okay, if they just, you know, fine tune it a little bit and whatever, they'll be back.
Right.
But they never did that. Now Donovan probably, you know, now I know on the outside looking in, I always thought it was Jeffrey Lurie basically doing his trying to win the salary cap Super Bowl more so than
That's
anything
exactly
else.
Right. Yeah.
But he got a major assist from Donovan, who basically
major.
For lack of a better word, cock blocked T.O. getting his money.
Donovan is a guy like high school. Remember high school we always had three or four little guys together. And Donovan was always the guy that did not have any real backbone. All the guys in high school knew that and beat him up, but not physically, but mentally.
Yeah. It was uncomfortable. I akin it to how Chris Webber became very estranged. Afterward, you know, look, I get it. Him being pissed off at the Eagle fans, I get it. You know, and he did not deserve it because, in retrospect, if they had gotten Ricky Williams, they probably don't even get to the NFC Championship game. And it's not
thank you.
Ricky Williams
you
talent.
People forget about that. I mean, Ricky Williams was decent, but he wasn't a star. But when the mayor of Philadelphia says draft Ricky Williams and he got this front row come up, they boot a guy, and we find out firsthand that hurt Donovan a lot. We didn't know it right then and there.
I get it. And I get it. And see, and look, I'm not trying to play Lucy Van Pelt 10-cent psychologist, but he should have used that as fuel.
Exactly.
Instead of sort of it being sort of an angst-ridden moment for him, because
exactly
when you really look back at his career at Philly, you know, he has many, you know, he had many signature moments. To me, his signature moment will always be to me the game in Arizona, the game against Arizona where he played with a broken foot. Now,
and threw 400 yards and a few touchdowns.
And you would you would have thought that would have endeared him with Philly fans. But see, Philly fans, you know, Philly, a lot of Philly fans are just a they're a bacon sandwich away from Attila the Hun, basically, in a lot of instances. But these also are the same folks that embraced Allen Iverson too. So it's a weird sort of paradox who they chose to jump on and who they chose not to jump on. But
you brought this up the other day when you were talking about Yankee fans and being a true Yankee. You know, Donovan did not vibe like a Philly guy. You know, he didn't roll in a Philly manner. And it's funny because I heard stuff like this.
Come on, they booed his ass off the stage.
That's what I'm saying. He had a problem with that. And
I would too.
My mind is like, you're a millionaire now. Chill, shake that shit off. And he made like he shook it off. But the only other guy that got booed that day, was Tom Brady because the Jets took his ass. And there were more Jet fans there than everybody. So when they said Tom Brady, even the anti-Jet fans said, J-E-T-S, suck, suck, suck. Because their front office really did suck.
They very easily could have said New York Jets draft Jesus Christ. They would have sucked. They would have started booing anyway.
That's right.
But you think they would have booed it? They got Tom Brady in there.
They would have booed anybody.
That's the thing. They would have booed. At some point, and we've been to enough of drafts where Jet fans would go there to boo. I always find it ironic. The last Jet number one pick that they all cheered for was Mark Sanchez.
Shows how much they know.
And we all know how
that shit turned out. For real. But gentlemen, this pinpoints the whole corporate dynamic of professional sports. Donovan McNabb becomes the company guy because he's making the team money. You know, and when they retired Donovan McNabb's number five, and he said,
number five will always love you.
Well, it was like number five was loved by the Lurys because he put asses in the stands. And let's give Donovan his due. And in the first book, I wrote Imitation of Life, there were a couple of essays there where we were pointing out that Donovan had a legit beef over how he was treated because of the receivers. I cannot think of any great quarterback. And when I say great, I mean somebody who got you to the postseason, who had a worse core of wide receivers than McNabb's Eagles.
Maybe
Doug Williams with Tampa Bay when he only had Jimmy Giles. But that's it. He had nothing to work with. And every time they drafted somebody, they got 6-1 and half a dozen of another, but it wasn't good enough. He made it work. His mobility made it work. His arm made it work. His toughness made it work. Really great qualities. And if we look at his stats, like you were saying, Tony, he is a Hall of Famer, at least in our mind, is because as soon as they say he didn't win a Super Bowl, yeah, so what? Dan Fouts didn't win one. Where the fuck is he? And let's see Dan Fouts try to play and win with the receivers that McNabb had, if we got to do that comparison shit.
Exactly.
But the bottom line in all this is that McNabb did not speak up. Everything changes if he says that he could T.O. some money. Simple as that. If he says it, T.O. knows he's on his side. And if nothing else, it calms the rhetoric down. If you're the quarterback, you're the leader, but you're the leader in every way. Steve Young always deferred his salary to keep Jerry Weiss and John Taylor and all of those great components of those San Francisco teams. It seems every quarterback who is worth their salt did something similar. McNabb showed everybody what time it was when on a Monday night game, They were playing at home against Seattle, and they were getting their ass whipped. I mean, Seattle, it was like the scene on any given Sunday when Warren Moon came in there and waxed Stephen Willie Beeman. The Eagles were getting waxed. McNabb was injured. The sub-quarterbacks were subpar. But where was McNabb? Was he on the sideline shivering with his charges? Hell no. He was up in the prime box, you know, dining on crack crab and shrimp.
Here's what's wrong with that. You know how you always hear them folks say it's not a good look?
Yeah.
Especially when, I mean, let's face it, we've said this several times. Your quarterback is basically your de facto CEO of your team.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. And even, you know, yeah, we know he was injured. Yeah, we know it was cold and all of it. But see, you know, perception is everything. You know,
yeah.
This may be sacrilegious, but I think it needs to be said. Jeff George.
Oh God.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Jeff George went through what? 80 teams, and there's only if nothing, put his way, as inconsistent as he was on the field, he was consistent in other ways. Man was a 36
to wear. He had to wear black and silver too. Oh God!
Look. Jeff George always had a shelf life, whether it was Indy, whether it was Atlanta, whether it was Oakland, whether it was wherever, put it this way, you know, everywhere he went, he left a little
Jeff. It wasn't shit.
He was never considered a team guy. You know, I mean, this is beyond the $1 million arm, 10-cent brain.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a dollar mm-hmm. 10, because he could read defenses. So I guess the kids say it was more than
there
a
you
10
go.
Cent. But mm-hmm. but see, especially in a situation where people are sort of looking at you left-handed already, that's why that whole thing. I mean, I'm not going to begrudge anybody trying to get themselves warm. Lord knows I've spent way too many cold ass nights in Connecticut to realize that.
Come on.
But
yes, sir.
But you don't know how. I mean, think of, again. I go back to the fact that they didn't give that team a second year to flourish, and unfortunately, it was sabotaged a little bit by Five because if he had just said, give him his money. Hell, I'll take a couple of months.
That's all he
to
has
make
to say.
Sure he got his money. If he had said that, I think he would have, you know, everybody would have loved from Five.
That's right.
A little bit more.
Well, see, that's part of being a leader. You got one guy who's a type A personality. You got another guy that's low key. They're both exceptional players.
I got a stupid question. I'm going to interrupt. I got a stupid question. Can you name me out of the top four or five teams that the leader has said give the guy his money? With the Cowboys, it was.
Oh, yeah. Aikman did it for many years. Brady did it.
But I didn't know. That's what I'm asking.
No.
That's why I brought up Steve Young.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Young did it in San Fran. I'm sure Montana. Hell, I even think Eli.
Eli
did it
too.
Now they didn't bring in any damn receivers, but he.
His heart was in the right place.
Exactly.
His heart was in the right place.
Exactly.
He kept.
Exactly.
That's also part of keeping chemistry in the locker room. You know that the Giants are a conservative organization. They're not going to throw down for just anybody. competitive. Eli, especially after winning two Super Bowls, but after the first Super Bowl, even though Eli would have been in there like his brother saying, oh, by the way, before I do a nationwide commercial with Peyton, I want y'all to take care of so-and-so because they were really helpful to us, and I would appreciate that. And on the quiet, the Giants get it done. The money's there. Everybody gets paid. Everybody's happy. Kumbaya, all that good shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Eagles weren't thinking like that.
Yeah, if you ever watch that America's game series with the that first Super Bowl with him, Strahan and Tom Coughlin, basically he was actually one of the guys that kept the harmony between him and Strahan, because Strahan was ready to go all Boston Strangler on Tom Coughlin that second year. But
take the number.
But somehow or another they came together and it went through. And it's little things. It's little things like that. It's little things like that that look, if you've got the talent and all that other stuff, that's great and everything. But there are those little things on the side that do it. It would be,
hey,
it's funny.
Is Peyton a Hall of Famer, in your opinion?
You mean Eli?
Yeah.
You mean Eli?
Yeah.
I know his overall win-loss is shitty.
118 and 118.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing.
Yeah. He's in the big market of New York, though. He won two Super Bowls.
But here's the thing.
I ain't a fan of him, but
Here's the deal. Take away, and I know this is a terrible argument, but take away the whole New York hype. Take away his last name. Let him be Eli Rabinowitz.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He basically.
That's a nice quarterback.
Exactly. He basically beat the team that was anointed to be the team of that era twice.
Yeah, twice. Not once, not twice, not three.
Oh, sorry, LeBron. He beat him twice.
Sounds like a true Met fan.
Now, yes, Jim Plunkett probably deserves to get in there too because he's got two Super Bowl wins.
Yeah.
And basically, he beat the team of that decade as well, the Redskins.
Yeah.
They whooped them. Now some will say But see, you win two Super Bowls against arguably the team of that era. That's gonna get you. I mean, look, Joe Namath had just as bad numbers and worse, and he's got one Super Bowl he's in. Now, granted, his Super Bowl was more impactful. Well, you know what? Therein lies the thing. Which is more impactful, Joe's one or Eli's two? Now I gotta say Eli's two are more impactful. I gotta say
I gotta disagree on that one because of the error and what happened.
True.
Okay,
but
follow me this thing.
Here's the thing. Look at Namath's numbers. Namath's numbers are god awful.
That's cool, but look at the media back then. That he didn't even say, I guarantee it. The media was the one that did the hype, so he just rolled with it.
Yeah,
and back in that day with you, Bank, and those guys, media scrutiny was nowhere near what it is now. And I just had to say it. That one game brought both conferences together and gave the AFC some bragging rights.
But you remember, New England is 18-1, and nobody gives
a
shit.
I'd be 18-1 too. The way they cheated, them bastards. Come on.
I know, but
they won all them games.
Here's the thing. What if they win that game?
There you go. Given the climate now of Houston and the motherland, it'd have been like steroids. I say they're a bunch of cheaters, and I think as years go by, the luster's gonna start coming off New England.
But if nothing else, he saved us from all that bullshit that we were gonna have to be shoved down our throat. I mean, and look, I got to give him some credit for that. And yes, a lot of put his way. The New York hype machine, the fact that he's a brother of a Hall of Famer and all that, that's going to get him in. I get it. And I get it. I get it. Because, you know, trust, I'm in, you know what market I'm in. So I have to hear that. I got to hear that bullshit just as much. But I can, you know what? I guess what I'm saying is I can stomach Eli more so than some of these other cats. I'm not justifying. But it's real. I'm gonna go Chris Rock. I'm not saying he did it, but I sure do.
I understand.
Hey, I'm not saying he belongs.
You sound like New Jack City. I'm going down. Everybody going down.
Everybody going down.
Eli Manning is the brains of it.
Which means now Kareem Akbar, that pretty motherfucker, is in the Hall of Fame as well.
Oh, no, not the pretty motherfucker. That's right.
Oh, pretty motherfucker.
But
Tony's right.
Tony is right here.
He may only have one hand on his plaque, but he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, though.
Exactly. And Tony's argument is 100% valid because he won impactful games. Getting to the playoffs was one thing, but winning the Super Bowl against the teams he won, that should cement his spot. And there should be no doubt about it. He's a Hall of Famer. Is his record below 500? Yeah. You know, did he have shitty games in between all of that? Yeah. But when it was time to ball, did he lie ball? He balled. So he gets in.
That pass he threw, they're still legendary. One on the sideline. When I said, behind the hand, did he catch that bitch? Good God.
To be, I don't know about y'all, but as much as they hype up the Tyree one, that Manningham one.
Oh, thank you. The Manningham reception was perfect. He has no room for error.
Yes,
just
sir.
Like that touchdown pass that Lockett caught from Russell Wilson, that pass to Manningham was perfect. There was zero room for error. And everybody forgets how beautiful Manningham kept his people, his feet in bounds, kept his presence, and snagged the ball. Without that catch, the drive does not continue. And the Patriots are fucking 19-0, and we'll never hear the end of that shit. And we know what Tyree did, but Manningham was the one that set the tape. If Manningham doesn't catch that, then dead ducks. So
Andrew
Eli provided. He was graceful under pressure.
She's still hot.
But to go back to Donovan here, he made the ultimate mistake when he opened his mouth for Russell Westbrook and said, "Give Russell money." And he didn't do that for T.O. Because, and I don't pretend to know, but I got family down there, and I do know there's a country mentality with some of the brothers and sisters. Because if you've been wronged, you don't get no get back. You get cut off. And that is exactly how T.O. felt. Remember, this kid is from Park Tussle, Tennessee, or some shit like that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
His father, he didn't know for years, raised by his grandma. So he's got a certain mindset. It wasn't until that catch he made where they go, Owens, 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 when he was in San Francisco, that he started to blossom. He started to really come out and bring his true persona out overall, football on and off the field. So he's now thinking, people are singing my name, T.O., 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 and all this other shit's going on. He's producing on the field. And we keep forgetting. Everybody don't know T.O. out like he's a dummy. T.O. is very smart. He had a high football IQ. And he came out in Dallas, which is why he got into that shit with Witten. Because T.O. knows he knows football. You know, they know he knows.
Yeah, but Mike, real quick, Drew Rosenhaus was the one that offered him getting out of Philly. That's what he fucked up.
Well, see, that was his
Drew
problem. Drew Rosenhaus is at the heart of this because he was a scumbag. He's one of those motherfuckers. You shake your hands, you count your fingers afterwards. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If T.O. had signed with Donovan's agent, Fletcher Smith, there would have been an understanding. because Fletcher Smith took care of Donovan. I mean, Donovan's not going to be broke. You know, Westbrook's not going to be broke. Terrell Owens, he succumbed to the asshole Rosenhaus like others did because he wasn't the only wide receiver that got
broke, too.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people tapped that ass.
Yeah, Warren Sapp is now eating no salt potato chips because of Rosenhaus.
You know. He can't even afford salt for the potato chips. That's rough. But that tells you that speaks on the shady side of football, Reggie. And we know every guy that might be getting a fair deal is some of these shyster sons of bitches. You know, one for you, one for me. One for you, one, two for me.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
But even though Terrell Owens is perceived as a type A personality, and he likely is, he didn't bring this shit back up. Donovan brought this back up. And that's why the whole issue of Donovan being thin-skinned comes back. Because now he's got to deal with the realities on top of everything else. Big Dick Nick wins the Super Bowl he was supposed to win. So Big Dick Nick will never have to pay for a drink or food in Philadelphia ever in his life. Carson Wentz now.
Was this something from the mouse, or was this from somebody else? I'm always curious when stories like this come up.
Donovan brought this back up, and again, it was engineered through the mouse.
Somebody asked them,
and you know what the mouse does when they get on shit like this,
See, that's the thing, because, see, yes, Donovan has to say, but see, the fact that he fell for the Okie, because, see, look, their modus, you know what their modus operandi is.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But see, that's all the more reason why it makes it even more angry, because you know what you're dealing with when you're dealing with them.
And because they don't do this festers. We should have been talking about this 15 fucking years later. But because of Donovan's thin-skinned nature, we don't. And he can't justify speaking up for Brian Westbrook and not speaking up for Teal as well.
Hey, but
I mean,
Mike,
anybody can see what they want.
Donovan, but what about Ed Reed's thin skin with Richard Sherman? I mean, what the hell is going on there? I mean, last time I checked, Ed Reed was stealing money so bad, the Jets gave him $6 million just to go away. You ain't got to say, but you got to get the hell up out of here. Take $6 million.
I'm with you on that, but they're different. They're on different teams. You know, they ain't sharing the same locker room. They're not listening to the same kind of nonsense from higher up about what Donovan is doing. But he's eating chunky soup or not. This is in-house shit. And in-house shit could have been solved. They saw this coming up. Joe Banner, the general manager, could have said, Tio, hey, we're going to take care of you because you took care of us on the field out there playing the way you did.
With a broken leg.
And let's be real. If Tio were a white player, they would have took care of his melanin-challenged ass before he even got on the fucking field.
I got one question. Riley Cooper.
So all of this shit comes down to the fact that nobody gave a fuck about Terrell Owens. They thought he was a diva, and when he showed his resolve, they got mad because he was successful doing it. If he had fallen on his face, if he had broken his leg or re-injured his leg, they'd have still called him names. But they couldn't say shit after he performed in the Super Bowl the way he did. And that's why this is important. Because if you're going to run a team, you have to know the makeup of your charges. What Bill Parcells said in those Giant days rang true. He said, there's five guys you got to kiss. There's five guys you got to kick. And everybody is in between. And T.O. needed to be kissed. So kiss him already. Is he providing for you? Is he playing his ass off? Kiss him. Give him his fucking money. And that would have taken a huge problem away, and Philadelphia wouldn't have been in the trick bag that they are. But I contend again, Tony, you hit it on the head. Nick Foles delivered. You don't think if Carson Wentz comes up shaky again and Donovan's critique of him has been accurate about him being injury prone, locking in on one receiver, can't see the other side of the field because his footwork doesn't give him that under pressure. I mean, Donovan passed out football reasons why Carson Wentz couldn't hold his jock strap. And he was right on every one of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's and they doubly hate him more because of that. Because because
they can't shut him out now.
Oh yeah. But it's again always a shame because they were, you know, they, like so many teams, were what could have been. Because like I said, I would have loved to have seen them for a full. A second full season, what would have happened?
Sure.
And the fact that he eventually wound up going to another team, you know, going to another team in that division, just added even more whatever's to it. And you know, and you know, they took the easy way out. They played him out like to be a fool.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, that's exactly right. And let's remember when Owens went to Dallas, he balled out there too. It wasn't his fault they didn't get to the playoffs. A fucking fumble field goal.
But it had a sorry-ass quarterback.
Exactly.
So a touchdown. No, it's an interception game. Way to go, Tony Romo.
There you go. That's exactly right. But see, no one's going to criticize Tony Romo. No one's going to say Tony Romo was a bad quarterback. Yeah, that's right. It's his quarterback, and he was stuck with him. And if you're going to criticize Owens for being showy or whatever, how the ham sandwich are you going to ignore the fact that Tony Romo bitched up when it mattered most?
Especially in Philly, when they played in Philly. He fell out in the shower.
That's right. Shoot. And if nothing else, tell Owens show the toughness that showed he can handle any situation. Because he went five different places and he balled out everywhere he went. And should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer, but they couldn't stand this black ass. Bottom line in all of this, Donovan McNabb is going to suffer forever knowing that he fucked up. And, you know, sometimes it's okay to say you're wrong, you made a mistake. I've never heard Donovan McNabb say, you know what, I mishandled the thing with T.O. Mm-hmm. It's my bad. I think if he had said that just once, in the capacity as the leader of the Eagles on the field, he smoothed a lot of shit out with him.
Well, you know,
it wouldn't have been a problem.
You know, you brought up the the catch two with Owens in that wild card game with the Packers.
Green Bay.
You got to remember the text of that. He was dropping passes.
He was dropping all day. He dropped four passes that day.
He was having an awful day. But again, he showed his wear. He showed his character and all that other stuff.
Man.
And it's always funny they never bring that game up. They, you know, they,
that's
they,
right.
You know, you'll see it. You know, parts. You know, on the highlights. But when they talk about his character and they talk about whatever, they never bring that game up.
Nope. Never bring it up. You're right. That's a great point.
And if I remember correctly, wasn't that? Oh no, I'm incorrect. Cause see, I was gonna say I thought that was Jerry Rice's last game with the Niners, but
no, it wasn't.
Actually, it was the game that T.O. set the record for most receptions in a game.
That was Rice's last
game with the Niners.
And even
that game is not even brought up as much.
That's right. And think about the fact that Steve Young went to him four times when he dropped the ball. And it's
One throw. Steve Young could have gone anywhere. He could have, and we know quarterbacks turn off when guys drop balls. He's like, nah, I can't trust him. This is a game on the line. And he threw the ball to Owens. Owens caught it in between, got boxed up, got pumped up, and he still made the catch. And they won. And the legend of T.O. was born. So we flash back to Super Bowl 39, and just like you said, Tony, has anybody got any interview footage of Donovan McNabb being asked how Terrell Owens played that day?
No.
That's another reason why this pot is shitty. Because Terrell Owens was the best player on the field.
Absolutely.
He did what he did on one fucking leg. Nobody can doubt that or question it.
But you know, one thing, Mike, the Eagles helped him because you notice how he ran his routes. One of the routes was on his plant leg that he hurt. They went to the
offensive line. That's right.
And they protected
Of course. And he produced. Yeah. Very stupid. He produced. They went to his strength and they allowed him to get in there and move the ball upfield. It was not Tell Owens' fault that Donovan McNabb bitched up and threw up. And let's be real, that's what happened. But again, nobody got any footage of the microphones in the locker room. We've been in those locker rooms, as you know. That's a valid question. Donovan, speak on how Terrell Owens played today. How do you feel about it? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't see any footage of that. I can't even remember anybody saying anything positive from Donovan regarding Terrell Owens.
They probably didn't, Mike, because, again, they were pushing, you know, they were pushing an agenda. And, see, again, it plays to the whole black, you know, black versus black thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, granted, Shaq and Kobe were somewhat able to play through it for most of the years.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it was a situation where the two of them needed to be sat in the room and just beat the hell out of each other and just shut the hell up and just love each other. That's the thing here in regards with Theo and whatever. Someone needed to grab Donovan by the face and say, shut up and love that guy. You know?
Exactly. You know, it was a situation that got in hand because Donovan was not the leader he should have been and said, look, get a man his money. Look what he did on the field here. It shouldn't have been an issue of Joe Banner. If he was consistent and he spoke, even if he said to give T.O. his money if you need him, that quiets a lot of shit. T.O. never goes off. None of this other stuff. And that's what being a leader is about. You work with this guy. You're basically living with the guy for half the season
in the locker
room.
Exactly. That's family.
You know?
That's family.
That's family.
That's family.
You know who in your family acts up. You know which one is the crazy uncle who get drunk and whatnot and start acting a fool. You know which one is the quiet dude who don't do nothing, but y'all better not mess with him because if you mess with him, he's going to blow the fuck up. And all of these things are introduced into the maelstrom of personalities that form a locker room. And to keep chemistry in that, you got to keep people happy. How do you keep people happy? By recognizing and respecting their contributions. That's why everybody loves Nick.
And mostly, and most importantly, you don't let someone outside the family define what the family is about.
There you go. That's right.
Because once you cause
have you ever heard
what? No, go ahead, man.
I was gonna say, have you ever heard in all of this beef between McNabb and Owens? Have you ever heard any number of athletes speak positively for Owens and say he needs his money? Now, I've been down here close to all this shit in Philadelphia, and I never saw enough of them come out and say, you know, T.O. deserves his money. And that's also what made him upset. You know, McNabb was holding court in the locker room. And if the locker room said, shut T.O. off, they shut him off. He had a right to be pissed because McNabb knew exactly what he was doing. And that's a big difference than being naive to something. You know how somebody ticks. You know you got to comply with some of that
and absorb some of that if you're going to be a true leader. And McNabb failed in that big time.
Mm-hmm. Because to be honest with you, that's why in the paradox that he came to Romo's defense quicker than he did Donovan. That's my quote. I mean,
he sure did.
Look, we know Tony Romo isn't the quarterback that Donovan McNabb is. But
no.
Because at some point within the locker room or whatever, he said, "You're my guy. I won't, you won't ever." There's a, if you ever watch Dick Vermeil's like first or second year with the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
when he's mic'd and he's talking with Jaworski, and he says,
yep.
"You're never gonna have to worry about me jerking."
Yes,
you.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. And
is that before after a certain linebacker from the New York Giants had him peeing in his pants?
It was probably during the I digress. But that's the thing.
Where's Longdell? He's on the sideline taking water.
But see, that's the dynamic of a locker room. That's the dynamic of a coach. You let them know what's going. You
mm-hmm.
let them know where they stand.
Mm-hmm.
Casey Stengel had a similar type thing with that Parcells said, with the 25-man roster. I got
mm-hmm.
I got 10 motherfuckers that love me. I got 10 motherfuckers that can't stand me. And then I got 5 that I ain't too sure about. I got
mm-hmm.
5 I ain't too sure about. So again, just bump up the numbers for football. There's going to be
mm-hmm.
so there's going to be a bunch of them that's going to love you. There's going to be a bunch of them that think you're two horses' asses. But if you can get them
ready to put up your ass.
Yeah. But if you can get them ones that's unsure, then you might be able to, you might be able to survive
yep.
the thing.
There you go.
And that's that's the dynamics of a locker room. That's the that's the family dynamics of sport, and that's the thing. Because see, as people forget about those 1970 A's. Apparently, the 1970 A's didn't really have much on the on the quote unquote Bronx Zoo Yankees, but
yeah,
because their whole thing was, well, once we get on the field, we nip that shit in the bud, and that's why they
yep.
were able to dominate the 70s. The way that they did. Now, granted, you didn't have the same media in Oakland as you have in New York, but still, that's another reason why. Because,
yep.
again, they were a national team because they were seen all the time. But even though, they were throwing chicken wings at each other, apparently, at certain times, they knew to clean the chicken bones up when it was game time and be like,
yeah.
hey, you may be an asshole, but you a baller.
Exactly. And that leadership aspect is the thing that always gets kicked to the curb when we look past the talent and statistics and everything else, because it's a nebulous stat. You don't know what a leader is until a leader has to lead. And this was a difference in McNabb getting to that next level. He made mediocre talent better, which is good. He made great talent greater, which is also good. But he could not keep his personal feelings to himself. I don't know if it was jealousy when everybody started cheering for T.O. and he felt like he was getting a short shrift on the, on the fame, the light, all the other stuff that
Mike. You can't help but think that because he apparently kept replaying Draft Day 99 over
yeah.
and over and over.
Yes.
And that might have
yes.
been the thing of, damn, I've been here all this time and they love him 2 weeks in. So,
You can't help but think that. You just reminded me of that cartoon with the two dogs. Remember, one was jealous, and the other was thought, number one dog. And he was going to sleep with that shit, racking his brain.
Number one dog.
He was so upset at that other dog, he was going to take his ass out. He went down to D.C. to rub this motherfucker out. And
yeah.
That's
yeah.
Being top dog, if you're paying the cost to be the boss, you got to recognize first that you are the boss. McNabb, after four straight conference division titles, knew he was the boss. He was the boss, and he said so, and he proved so when he looked at Reggie and he said, you know what? Reggie's been protecting my blind side. Reggie's been rushing for yards. He's been doing all the little things to help us get shit done. His contract's coming up. You got to take care of Reggie. You got to take care of my dog, Reggie.
Right,
he did that. Westbrook got the money he was supposed to get. And T.O. was proven on the field that he's more than worth what was spent on him. And all of a sudden, you shut up. See, that's petty shit right there.
Number one dog.
You got rednecks. You got racists. You got fly guys. You got all kinds of shit in the locker room. And how you make it work, that's what a leader does. And Donovan did not do that. And I hate to have to dump on him because he's a Hall of Fame player. And he was the best quarterback that the Eagles ever had. I mean, ever. He's got the stats to back up. But he also is so thin-skinned that he let the white media eat his ass up. And they beat him like a runaway slave when it mattered most. He was never Allen Iverson could do dirt forever, and he would always get a pass because Philly fans loved him because he wore his heart on his sleeve, and every time he got on the court, you knew he was punching a clock, and he worked until that clock was done. People don't get that vibe from McNabb. Even with a broken ankle, they don't get that vibe from him. So he's unfairly carrying some weight. But there's some shit he could have took care of, and he failed to do it in the proper manner.
Yeah. Hey, look, man, I got to get out of here. But yeah, it's too bad because, like I said, it would have been great to see them for year two. And see, there's so many teams that like that you know that weren't allowed to really reach their potential. They got to a certain level.
Yeah.
And that certain Eagle team, it's always going to be a question as to wonder what they would have done if they had had a second year to ball out. But you know,
exactly,
we're never gonna know. All right, guys, I'll talk to y'all later.
Hey,
I got to roll on too. Appreciate it. Keep up the good work, Mike.
No problem, bro. Take care, Gary. If you want, you can bump back in so everybody can get a preview of the Cove at the top of the hour, as we are now a little bit into the second hour of the show. And I think, unfortunately, media is not looking to take care of either McNabb or Owens. They love this shit. They're just lapping it up. It's like, you know, it's like tasty gravy. They're just lapping it all up, and they do not give a fuck that any kind of damage will be done to either of these guys. I think Brian Westbrook was being kind in trying to provide a bridge, but as they say this now, the conversation back then was that Terrell Owens was this and that, cancer and all this other old shit. But now, we see a whole different perspective now that folks have had time to marinate on this. He's not the first player to have issue with getting money, and he surely won't be the last. But the methodology says everything. And if he didn't find, and when I say he, I'm referring to McNabb, if he didn't find it in him to take care of a situation that could have been resolved with just a little bit of sugar, a pat on the back to calm down the situation, well, don't give me no nonsense on us because you just brought those blues on yourself. And everybody knows when pain, blues, and agony come on your ass, it can be hard to shake off.
While we're doing that blues thing, we're going to play this old Bobby Bland song for you. Actually, it's a T-Bone Walker song. Thank you. singing the blues. Dwayne and Dixie and Ace.
Oh, shit. Yes, indeed. Brother Almond, Greg and Dwayne doing damage. Speaking the truth. Because blues is real. You can't fake blues. You can't fake animosity or bitterness, which unfortunately was generated in the beef between Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens. That we're revisiting this 15 years later is an indication of how hard the feeling is running. I have the feeling that Terrell Owens had pretty much said, fuck all that, and he had gone on with his life. But for Mr. McNabb, it's bitterness that it sits in his craw like that, and he'll say, we were able to do this if only. You know, that if only kind of runs parallel with but when it comes to those pregnant pauses that change people's lives no matter how. And he's going to have to ride that train for a long time. And unfortunately, I feel for him because I feel McNabb played well under the circumstances. He should hear his name one day in Canton. But I know these assholes in Philadelphia, the media, they will punish him. And now that Carson Wentz has been the anointed white boy, they got what they want. How they will try to campaign for him when they make the Hall of Fame if his career lasts that long, that's a to-be-continued kind of point in the story. But he already noticed from how Wentz was treated to how he was treated that he got more love than he did himself, to McNabb himself. And sadly, that is only perpetuated since Foles has won a Super Bowl and Wentz will be in a position where he gets the right pieces, he may end up 1-2. And if they do, then they'll say, greatest quarterback in Eagles history? It's not McNabb. They'll say Wentz got here in so-and-so years and all that, and all that hard work that McNabb put in will go on the waste. And that's what I truly feel for him. When you put in work, you should get credit for it. And McNabb put in more work than any other quarterback in the league during his prime time because he had less to work with than anybody. You know, people sometimes say shit ain't fair. That's true. How you handle it, that speaks to what kind of person you are. Because like we've always said about our site and what we do with our info, we'll pass that information along to you. What you do with it, once we drop it on you, that's on you. And now the rest of the day is going to be on me as I got to go earn some daily bread. We'll see you tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Get the Music Therapy live stream here on Blog Talk. At the top of the hour, Gary Ross Gray and the Great Upper Cove will be in the house. In 3 weeks, the Music Box will be back, so you'll have a full slate of entertainment for Sunday evening. But for right now, I got the book. For all of us here at the tree, go safe. Stay safe. Be safe. Ciao.